Bibles to Jonah. Pastors, he's right. I don't believe him about the whole college thing. There's no way. It's harder at real college than the, nah, I don't know. I just got done outlining 40 parables that he gave us the course of like 2 months to do and told us many times, don't procrastinate. Guess what I did? So, pretty much what I have from Jonah is pretty much just an outline. I got really good after, well, maybe pastor's going to judge how good my outline is. Let me kind of check out what I'm doing here. It's helpful to have notes, but then you forget the notes, so I'm not sure if it's helpful for me or not. All right, so there's a couple things we see in Jonah's life. Is everyone in their Bible found it? Everyone has a Bible? Does anyone need a Bible? Maybe? No? Okay. All right, how many of you have never heard the story of Jonah? Well, maybe. Yes, Matthew. Okay, Matthew, you're going to learn so much about Jonah. Okay? Like, and I'm probably going to be 15 minutes. So, all right. Let's start in verse number 1. All right. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." All right. So the first thing we see in Jonah's life is God's calling. All right. Now, everyone here, if you are saved, God has called you to do something. All right. Every saved believer, God called in Mark 16:15 to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All right. This was the last thing, or one of the last things that Jesus said before he ascended into heaven. And it needs to be taken seriously. We can't neglect this. We can't put this aside. We need to stick to this, and we need to not forget about it. It's really easy in this life to get distracted, to get set off track, I guess you could say. And even things that aren't bad can set us aside. Things like work or other things. But we get so wrapped up in just going through life that we forget that our main purpose on this earth, the reason God left us here, is to tell others about Christ and to win souls for Christ. Okay. The next thing, if you continue reading in verse number 3, it says, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." The next thing we see in Jonah's life is that he ran from God. Okay. So we see Jonah's response. He ran from God. Like I said, you get up here and your notes just all mixed together. They're not. Okay. So he ran from God. And later on in this chapter, we see that there are consequences for not listening to God. Jonah said that he was going to flee to Tarshish, it says. Okay, and then the next thing we see is that Jonah fled from the presence of God. Okay? It is a very dangerous thing when we leave the will of God. When Jonah decided to run away from God, when Jonah made the decision that he wasn't going to listen, he was going to run away, he wasn't going to obey God's command, he fled to Tarshish, which was the opposite direction of Nineveh. I always thought, just me chasing rabbit tails. It's going to be short, so don't worry about that. I always thought when he sailed to Nineveh that he went like Israel was here and he sailed to Tarshish and then Nineveh was over here. I always thought you could sail to Nineveh. Apparently you can't. I actually looked at a map. Pastor was encouraging us to do that. You cannot get to Nineveh through a boat. It's a 3 days journey. And actually, if I would read my Bible and pay attention, in chapter 4, I think it is, it mentions that it's a 3 days journey or whatever. Anyways, just me going off topic. Okay, so Jonah went the opposite direction of Nineveh and fled to Tarshish. And as I said already, he left. When he did that, he left the will of God. Okay, God has a plan for every one of us, okay, we would be foolish to run away from God. When Jonah left the will of God, we see a spiral of mistakes that he made. So if we look back in verse number 3, okay, well, all right. But it says, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of God, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare." This is actually, Mom was just reading in Jonah this week or whatever, and she kind of pointed this out to me. It's interesting to see that he paid the fare. It says, it just, Mom pointed it out to me, and it was just, like I said, it's interesting to see that, where is it at? Okay, he found a ship going to Tarshish. Tarshish. Anyways. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. So as I said, we see Jonah got out of God's will, decided to run from God, and he went and he paid and bought or paid for a fare to go to Tarshish. Now the ship that he was on most likely was a trading ship. The Bible doesn't say that, but now I'll point out more things as we go or whatever, kind of evidences of that. But like I said, so he got in the ship, all right, and then in verse number 4 it says, oh, hold on. Let me make sure I'm not jumping too far ahead of myself. And okay, it says in the middle of verse number 3, it says, and he went down to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And again, we see that he's leaving the presence of the Lord. He's getting out of the will of, or the will that God has for him. All right, so, and then this is the next point I have in verse 4. It says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." All right, the next thing we see is God's response to Jonah's disobedience. Okay, when, all right, verse number 4 says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." God's first response, letter A, was a great storm. God sent a great storm to stop Jonah in his rebellion. God will always send storms to those who leave his will. God wants us in his will, and he has ways of getting our attention. We see the storm in this sentence is a really good illustration of what will happen to us if we disobey God, if we leave his will. When we get out of God's will, he has to get our attention. He has to wake us up. He has to show us that we're doing wrong and we need to get right with him. And then the next, if we keep reading verse number 5, it says, "Then the mariners," okay, they were the people in the ship, the crewmen, I don't know what, if you want to call them that, okay, of the ship, were afraid. Now, it's interesting to see that these men, trying to collect my thoughts here, these men would have been doing this all their life. This is their profession. It's a trading ship. They'd go from all coast to coast or whatever, trading goods, selling goods. This is their livelihood. It's interesting to see that it specifically points out that they were afraid. You got to think these people must have been through many storms and many, many times they would have been through seas. And it, like I said, it points out that they were afraid and cried every man unto his gods. Again, it just kind of emphasizes more how great this storm was. Okay, and then, and like I said, in verse number 4 it says, "So the ship was likely to be broken." And again, like I said, it points out just the fact that the ship was ready to break, okay? And, okay, verse number 5, it says, okay, "that the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his gods and cast forth the wares that were in the ship." And I believe I'm reading that right. Is that right? Wares? Okay, and what I looked that up and did some studying on that pretty much means anything and everything. Okay, basically it's that, and it continues, "the wares that were in the ship unto the, they cast it into the sea to lighten it of them." They were lightening their load. They were getting rid of stuff. And again, you got to remember, these people were traders. They're chucking their money into the ocean. This is their livelihood that they're throwing away. And as I already said, it further points out how great this storm was or whatever. Okay, now this is the interesting part. Okay, it says, continuing in verse 5, it says, to lighten it of them, but Jonah. And I find it interesting to see, but Jonah, what was he doing? Was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. You see, the problem many times when we run from God, and the reason God has to send storms and things our way, is to wake us up. When we run from God, when we get out of His will, we fall asleep. We can't listen to Him, we can't hear His voice, and He has to send things our way to wake us up. So this storm, and then let me see, where is, all right, verse number 6, it says, so the sea master, okay, this was the captain of the ship, came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? And it's kind of funny to see that it took a lost captain of a ship to tell Jonah to wake up. It took a lost man to say, hey, what in the world are you doing? There's a storm out here, and here you are sleeping. There's things to be done. You should be helping us, and here you are. You're sleeping in the boat. Okay, so what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. And we see they cast lots upon each other to try and figure out who it was that the storm was for. They came to the conclusion that someone on this ship is the reason this storm is here. And casting lots would be something, I'm not exactly sure what it would be, I would guess it'd be something like drawing straws or whatever, or rolling dice or something like that to figure out who it was. Okay, and then in verse number, continuing in verse number 7, okay, to see, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. The second thing, excuse me, well, now I've lost my nose. Okay, God's second response to Jonah's disobedience, okay, is God revealed his sins. It's interesting to see that the lots fell upon Jonah. In verse number 8 it says, then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country? It's split in half on my Bible, okay? I can read. Not really. But country. Okay, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceeding afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? Okay, for the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. And again, like I said, God reveals his sin to all the people that were on the ship. Okay, the Bible says in Numbers 33:23, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out. We cannot hide our sins from God. He says everything, or he sees everything you do. He knows where you are, what you're doing at all times. The Bible also says that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Okay? Our sin will be revealed eventually. No matter how much we try to hide it, no matter how sneaky we are, no matter how good we are at hiding it, our sin will find us out. All right, and then if we keep reading in, I got to find my spot. I lost it. Okay, 11. Okay, then said they unto him, what hast thou done unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? Or, I'm sorry, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. We see that Jonah, in this verse, started to realize something. He started to realize the wrong things he had done. The storm, I guess, was successful, I guess you could say. He realized, he said, I know that for my cause, this storm is upon you. I don't know where I'm at. Oh, this great tempest is upon you. So, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the shore, to the land. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleaseth thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea caused him, I'm sorry, and the sea, I need to drink water. That is helpful. Okay. Now I lost my spot. No. 15. Okay, thank you. Okay. And the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The God's last response to Jonah's disobedience was a great fish. In order to get Jonah to listen, he first had to send a storm. Then he woke him up. He revealed his sins. And then he sent a great fish to swallow up Jonah. All right, now in chapter number 2, okay, we see, fourthly, I'm not sure if you guys are even being able to keep track of notes because it's all mixed together in there somewhere. But number 4 on my notes is Jonah's repentance. In verse number 2, it says, Then Jonah prayed unto, or I'm sorry, chapter number 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine afflictions unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou heardst my cause, thou hast cast me unto the deep, and in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thine sight, yet I will look again towards the holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul, and the depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms and the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and I prayed, Come into thee, unto thine holy temple. They that observe laying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. As I said, we see here Jonah's repentance. Jonah realized what he had done wrong. He realized that he had left the presence of God. He had left the will of God. And he begged God to give him a second chance. And it shows the grace of God here that he's willing to give us a second chance. And the verse 10, as I already read, it says, And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Chapter 3 continues and says, And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. So this is the second time, as I said, God gave him a second chance. The second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, which I had mentioned before. of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered himself with sackcloth and set in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. And we see in these verses that Jonah finally obeyed the will of God. He got back in God's will for his life. And we see that he went and preached to Nineveh and they repented. And this just shows that God's will is always best. It would have been so much easier if Jonah would have just obeyed in the first place, would have just listened to God, but he didn't. And so many times we think, oh, my, this is what I want. This is my way. I'm going to do this. And we leave God's will only to find that our way wasn't best. Our way was the wrong way. And it caused way more heartache and grief than it should have. We see, like I said, we think of the cost that Jonah gave, not to himself, but to everyone else that was with him. People in the ship, as I said, they lost everything they had. They had to get rid of their worldly possessions. He ruined their lives at the same time when he ruined his life. Our sin does not just affect us. It affects everybody around us. People that we love and care about will be affected the most by our sin. It's, as I said, it's easier for us to just obey God in the first place instead of run from him. And lastly, in chapter 4, it goes on to talk about Jonah. It says, But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. I don't understand how Jonah could still be like this. We see that in this saying, he specifically says the very reason he left to go to Tarshish was because he knew that God was gracious. Like I said, it just amazes me to think that is our mentality. That is our personality. We don't want to tell others about Christ because, oh, they did that to us. They hurt me in this way, so I'm not going to tell them about the gospel. And it goes on. It says, Then the Lord, or verse 4, or I think, did I skip anything? Verse 3, Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And again, we just see, it's amazing to just see how bitter and hateful he was to the people in Nineveh. And then verse number 4 says, Then said the Lord, Dost thou will to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadows till he might see what would become of the city. And I just find it interesting. He goes up on the mountain and just watches the city from a distance. Just, God, you're going to destroy them still, right? They didn't really repent. You're gonna wipe them out. And just he goes up just to see what was going to happen to the city. And in verse number 6, and the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon his head, upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And God said unto Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it to grow, which came up in one night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 people that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? The Lord made a gourd to sit over Jonah, and then right after that he made a worm that ate the gourd. The gourd withered, rotted, fell, and Jonah had pity over the gourd that had just withered and rotted and fell before his eyes. And God used this to show him how foolish he was being. God told him, said, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it to grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night." And then he said, "And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city?" And again, this shows God's just absolutely amazing grace and mercy towards us as sinners. The Bible says that Christ the Lord, that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I forgot how that started. I wrote it down somewhere. God commendeth. Aha, I found God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves us all. And just like he gave Jonah a second chance, he gave Nineveh a second chance. And we as Christians need to apply this to our life. We need to ask ourselves, is there something that God wants us to do that we are refusing to do? Are we in the will of God, or are we running from God? I don't have much more. That's pretty much it. So I'm not sure how I did for time, but yes.